Peace, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I am your host, Raven. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm very grateful and thankful for those of you who are tuning in and checking out the show. I want to start off the program by saying, yet again, my condolences and revolutionary love to the families, the comrades, and the loved ones of those who we have lost here, revolutionary heroes who have passed on in the last few months and years. Thinking here of Sekou Odinga, Rochelle McGee, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. There was just another announcement. One of the members of the December 12th movement, I cannot recall her name, and that's my sincerest apologies for that. I want to lift them up and lift up their families, their friends, their comrades, their loved ones, their mentors, their students, their children, everybody who was blessed by meeting these and other folks who are still here on this earth, who have been in the struggle, who have been organizing for decades. It is an incredible honor to be able to learn their stories, to be able to hear their names, to be able to hear from those who were there alongside with them what they were like. And I think that many of us would benefit greatly by learning more about these folks, by learning more about what they gave to this struggle, what they did for the masses of people across the world, because it's no small feat, that's for sure. But as we continue forward, and as those who were closest to these folks, you know, stress the importance of struggling on, of building that relationality, that support, that knowledge, and that mass consciousness that is so crucial, so important to everything we talk about today. So I want to take this opportunity to add to the series on colonial connections. This is going to be I guess you could call it like a bonus track. This is not necessarily one of the series episodes I had planned to this point. But given the scenarios, the situations, the situations that are ongoing around the world, I felt it was necessary to take this moment to speak about something that is quite, I guess the best word you could find is evil. And that is the abuse, the torture, the starvation, the intentional sickening, the disproportionate effects that war, and specifically genocide, have on children and the most vulnerable members of any population. We are seeing, of course, that the United States, the United Kingdom, and other empires, old colonial masters and their allies, are attempting in this moment to reformulate, to reanalyze a strategic method in order to, quote, resolve the, quote, question of Palestinian, of Yemeni, of Afghan, Lebanese peoples in this ever-increasing, ever-growing conflict, active genocide, which is being perpetrated in the first case by Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces and the Israeli Occupation Forces, along with the Mossad and other intelligence agencies, armed groups and organizations there in Palestine. But of course, as we have seen, there is also, over the course of the last 100 years, been a significant increase in the involvement and aiding of Israel by forces such as the United States, Canada, and of course all of its old European friends like the UK and others. Israel, like all neo-colonial bastions, is the front line for the new stage, the new technologies, the new practices of colonialism. Alongside with other peoples, other nations of oppressed peoples around the world, Palestine is one of the most prominent world stages for the showdown between oppressors and oppressed. In Palestine, the weapons, tools, mechanisms that are used to deorganize, decentralize movements, to disrupt protests, to disarm and arrest and detain protesters, activists, organizers, the different ways in which the intelligence agencies, the police, and others have been able to collect information on not only just those that they report to have some form of suspicious tie or suspicious activity that brings them, that is, the Israeli occupational forces or the Mossad or whomever, to kidnap, torture, interrogate, brutalize, and hold captive citizens of Palestine. But this is not enough for them. They, of course, also have developed practices, habits of targeting those associated with who they have suspicion with, their family, their friends, their teachers, their doctors, their comrades, their co-organizers. These methodologies, these practices, these weapons have been brought back to the rest of the world and other places where they are being tested. We must understand that what is happening to the Palestinians today is not only not new, but will not remain and is not to this day the only ongoing genocide, or the only form, the only place, the only location where this level of oppression, this level of brutality will come to bear. This is a testing platform. This is a trial run for the rest of the world. this will be the opportunity for the imperialists and the colonialists to see what oppressed people will do, how they can be controlled, how they can be manipulated into adapting to and submitting to occupation and exploitation. So when we look at statistics like the fact that over 40% of Gaza's population are children, that something like 48% of Gaza and the West Bank's population are unemployed, that pregnant women are unable to give birth in any sterile, safe location where they can receive proper medical care, medical treatment, both for themselves and for their child. We see that this is a direct targeting of the next generations of Palestinians. Like the slavery in the Democratic Republic of the Congo or in Libya, where children as young as 4 or 5 have to work in fields for Nestle, for coffee companies, for Monsanto. And we see also the attacks on the youth in the Western world through the attacks on childcare, daycare, the attacks on healthcare, the attacks on education, the attacks on family planning programs, the attacks on food assistance or housing assistance programs, and also, not least, the attacks on the mind, on the psychological, psychosocial development of children through the media, through specifically social media, the attack on our attention spans, the attack on our ability to read, the attacks on our ability to seek out meaningful employment. All of these, along with the recent discussion of the attacks on things like Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, on things like the retirement age, wanting to up this from 65 to 70. All of this must be seen as war. The population, even in the industrialized imperial nations of the West, have lost and are continuously losing the privileges, the benefits, the rights, which they not only fought for, but were guaranteed through the continued colonization of the Third World. But now this colonization cannot continue in the same light, in the same way. This imperialistic practice now must amplify and increase its levels of exploitation and its levels of brutality. What is happening in Palestine is a direct attack on the children of Palestine. This is not an attack on Hamas. This is not an attack on the Al-Qassam Brigades. This is not an attack on Islamic Jihad. This is not an attack on Hezbollah or on Ansar Allah. This is an attack on the population. The population, which is a majority children, which is a majority unemployed, which cannot seek health care, whose hospitals, schools, houses, buildings, roads, all forms of protection, all things reminiscent of a real functioning society have been destroyed. This means that the children who are alive today or who are to be born will likely live in a situation where they do not have schools, where they do not have hospitals, where they do not have food readily available to them, where they do not have any arable farmland, where they do not have jobs, where they do not have the opportunity to return to their homeland, where they cannot have children. This is a crime against humanity. This is fascism, alive and well. If ever you thought it was gone, my friends, look again. Fascism has gone nowhere except for new locations, new areas, to attack new populations, to exploit new resources and labor forces, to advance to new heights, new levels, new approaches, strategies, tactics of oppression. Fascism has gone nowhere. What we are seeing also in Palestine is a clear attack on any and all legitimate political organization or power that could or should be vested in the hands of the people. The Palestinian Authority is guilty of complicity and outright aiding and abetting in this process by capitulating, becoming corrupt, remaining corrupt, and siding 9 times out of 10 with the occupation forces in the final conclusion. What we say is that other organizations, other political parties do and have existed in Palestine, have been able to achieve elections like the 2006 election of Hamas, which led to the siege, the absolute blockade of Gaza by Israel. This is in 2006. This is also an attack on the generations and the population as they were in 2006, which is non-militarized, at least to the level that they are today, which is non-confrontational, at least to the level that they are today. What has happened since October 7th could have and was predicted as far back as the very first settlements of Zionists in Palestine. And that is the full-fledged resistance and fight back for liberation, for revolution against the occupational forces. These attacks on children, these attacks on the population, always also destroy the opportunity for these children, for these people, to even have a childhood. Their childhood is war. Their childhood is genocide. Their childhood is disease and starvation and death. Their childhood is bombings. Their childhood is playing in the dust, in the rubble, looking for friends. Their childhood is watching their friends be taken away by IOF soldiers, being tortured, being brutalized, being abused, being verbally abused. This is the childhood. This is the attack on the children in Palestine. And this is not new. If we look at the history of the genocide, which is continuing to happen here on Turtle Island, we can see that the European settlers, which came in order to steal the land from the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, also use similar such attacks, of course, matching the level of technological and other forms of advancements that they had at the time. This was boarding schools, stealing children away from their families, their culture, their heritage, their home, their language, their knowledge. This was the diseases which they brought along with them, smallpox, gonorrhea, syphilis, influenza, and other such diseases which wiped out millions. This was forced sterilization. This was forced hysterectomies. This was biological and chemical warfare. We cannot tread lightly. We cannot speak easily when it comes to the attacks on children which have happened throughout history. This is a historical practice whereby a people is ultimately attempted to be eliminated and wiped off of the face of the earth by actually removing and depopulating their youngest generation so that they cannot reproduce. This is eugenics. This is population control. This is fascism. If we are unwilling to accept this definition, then we must accept at the very least that this is one of the most, if not the most forms, most advanced, most extreme forms of exploitation, oppression, and population control that is historically readily available to our knowledge. And we must also take into account the use of things like white phosphorus, the contamination of water sources, the lack of hygienic, materials, even something as simple as running water for a shower. All of these things are attacks on children, also attacks on the immunocompromised, the disabled community, and the elderly, who very easily are susceptible to disease and sickness and can die and are dying very quickly. A recent episode of Breakthrough News featured a Lebanese doctor who spoke about, again, my apologies for being absent-minded on the name, who spoke about the fact that in most conflicts, right, for every one soldier, combatant, or, you know, armed individual that is killed, 15 people die of the symptomatic results and consequences of war. That is hunger, that is disease, that is displacement, that is the lack of resources, that is the lack of water, the weather conditions, etc. All of these things lead to approximately 15 times more deaths than any actual combatant or conflict-related deaths having to do with direct armed engagement. So, as it stands right now, there are approximately 26,000 to 27,000 or 28,000 confirmed dead in Palestine due to the genocide that is being perpetrated by Israel, the United States, the United Kingdom, and its allies. That means approximately 300,000 to 400,000 people, statistically speaking, are likely to die in the next year, two, three, due to disease, sickness, lack of resources, lack of housing, etc. If you cannot see the outright genocide, bombing with white phosphorus, torture, massacring of innocents, the brutalization and abuse of children and elderly and disabled folks, if you can't see this as fascism, what will you see the death of 300,000 to 400,000 as? Will it just be normal to you then too? We have to remember that those of us who are part of the younger generations, we are very lucky. Here in the West, even though our lives are often meaningless, devoid of meaning, exploited, oppressive, there are things that we have that the rest of the world doesn't, and we must use these things, we must use these opportunities, we must use these benefits as we still have them, while we still have them, in order to benefit the rest of the world. The populations of Palestine, of the Congo, of the Sudan, of Niger, of Burkina Faso, of Ghana and Guinea, and all the other nations that the United States, France, Belgium, Italy, Portugal, Germany have colonized, destroyed, decimated, and taken away the youngest generation's opportunities for redevelopment, readvancement, and meaningful lives, if life at all. On top of this, we also know that a majority of the Palestinian population has, since 1948, been unable to return to their homes. Meaning that if this precedent is kept in place, all of those, that is 1 to 2.5 million people who have been displaced, not only from northern Gaza, but other regions as well, will be incapable of returning to their homes. This means the younger generation's intellectual, creative, labor, that is mental and physical, all of the benefits, the tax dollars, the money, the everything that could go into redeveloping, reforming, recreating Palestine and all of the surrounding regions will be sucked up and stolen, like everything else, by the imperialist nations, which have the few remaining jobs that pay well enough that these people that have gone through genocide, that have gone through displacement, have been forced to immigrate or become refugees in another country, are able to not only afford some form of bare minimum survival, but also send money back to their loved ones who cannot find employment, who cannot receive any kind of aid, who cannot be assisted monetarily or in any other fashion by a government, international agency, or anything, both because of sanctions caused by the imperialist world and also because of the destruction of any and all infrastructure within these nations. We must understand that this is deeper than just the current ongoing genocide that is being perpetrated by bombs, by all kinds of chemical warfare, by all kinds of shit. We have to see clearly that there is more at stake. There is a long-term genocidal reality, and there's no other term to describe it. No term that I know that properly matches the depths and the depravity of this current situation. At this point, Israel, they could stop bombing. Now, would they win? Not necessarily so. I don't really see a reality where Israel will win, but that's just, my opinion. I'm not looking into, a crystal ball, and I try not to do too many predictions, but they could very easily stop bombing. Just continue with the siege and the occupation. But Israel is so fascistic, is so determined to kill, that they don't want the Palestinians to have a slow, sufferable death. They don't want the Palestinians to have the opportunity to fight back, to muster up any courage. So they would rather risk international condemnation regional war, they would risk everything just for the opportunity to kill more Palestinians. If you think this is an extreme opinion, I implore you to show me proof that it is untrue. The reason why Israel responded and has been responding as it has since the just liberatory struggle of Al-Aqsa flood engaged in on October the 7th, 2023, over 108 days, the reason why Israel isn't real, the state known as Israel, has committed to this outright slaughter is because they know that they are on a losing track. They know that their path of occupation, of colonialism, of exploitation, and their fascistic advancements have only created one of the most resolute, principled, disciplined, strengthened, encouraged, and united resistance forces, people that we have ever seen. People who stand alongside the Cubans and the Vietnamese and the Cambodians and the Laotians and the Hawaiians and the Chileans and the Venezuelans and the Nicaraguans and others who have adamantly and courageously fought against the imperialists, like the Zapatistas, the Mexican revolutionaries, like the indigenous nations of the Americas, like China, like the Soviet peoples, like many others to come, and many others today, in Niger, in Burkina Faso, in Mali, in Western Sahara. The Palestinians stand on a pedestal that only those like the Yemeni people, like Ansar Allah, like Hezbollah and others, who have taken imperialism on face to face, arms to arms. The Palestinian people cannot be stopped. But here's the thing, right? I don't just believe that the Palestinians will succeed in liberating themselves from the current occupation that they are enduring. That is the post-1967 borders and the ongoing incursions into northern Gaza, the Western Bank, other settlements that are being put up elsewhere. This is only the newest extension of what has been 100+ years occupation. And I believe fully, and I'm not just saying this to pretend as if I'm more hopeful than I am, or to sound positive in light of a very dark, very dangerous, very difficult situation. I'm saying this because the Palestinians believe this, because the Palestinians are acting upon this, and the Palestinians, among with many other people around the world, are making this very clear. There are no occupations, no forms of oppression that will be able to continue as they have for much longer. This is what we are seeing around the world, that the different forms of capitalist, colonial, imperialist, neoliberal, whatever term we want to slap on it, these systems are no longer capable of enacting the same type, the same form, the same level, or the same length, that is, of time, of oppression. Think about how many hundreds of years the Crusades and the Catholic Spanish rule over the world, how many hundreds of years this went on for. And then, of course, we have the rule of other European empires like Britain and France, Italy, Portugal, and others. How many hundreds of years did they last? Even less. And now, if you look at the history, the last 250 some odd years, you can see that very quickly, this empire, Turtle Island's current occupational force, known as the United States, has quickly increased in the last 50 or so years, all of its active engagements, active conflicts around the world, specifically since the fall of the Soviet Union. It has exponentially increased in statistics like child mortality rates, in poverty, addiction, suicide rates, the level of inequality continues to increase. And yet, still, there are those who question whether the United States could ever fall. I believe that if we look at the trajectory of history, we see that revolutions are in fact very common. And revolutions happen all over the world. And every time there's a revolution, it brings the next one, and the next one, and the next one that much closer. And the character and the quality of the changes that come with each uprising, with each rebellion, with each revolt, increase the likelihood that a revolution is coming, and that a revolution of a genuine, grassroots, people-centered, socialist character is coming. The people of the Global South have seen revolution. The youth of Palestine, of Sudan, of Niger, of Burkina Faso, of Ghana, of Somalia, of Mali, of many African, Asian, and American peoples, nations, have seen war, have seen genocide, they have seen rebellion, they have seen coups, they have seen military juntas, they have seen political corruption, they have seen attempts at democratization, they have seen attempts at neoliberalism. They have seen everything. And what they have yet to see is what it would look like if they were in power. What would things be like if the masses The very people who struggle and suffer every single day were the ones who were able to decide what it is that is to be done in order to resolve these issues that are facing billions of people today, not just millions. This is the real question in the minds of the youth who are taking up arms in Palestine. What could a Palestine look like without, not only without Israeli occupation, but with real popular power vested in the organized people's hands? This is the question which the Palestinian people, the youth, the old, the disabled, the educated, the unemployed, the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, and the freedom fighters, for them to decide. This is not for us to decide. What is for us to decide is what we will do to ensure this reality is a possibility, not only for the Palestinian people, but for people in general. As we understand, the United States is the largest obstacle to peace, democracy, and any form of social, political, economic, or any advancement as it stands. None of its allies, none of its reactionary friends would be able to stand on their own two legs if it were not for the United States' support. We must clearly recognize the role and responsibility that we have here. We must be clear. There can be no freedom, no liberty, no justice in a world where Palestine is not free. And unless the Palestinians are freed, unless we see an end to this genocidal occupation, unless we see an end to the continued expansion of imperialism, of capitalist exploitation, of suffering, of poverty, of inequality, of disease and starvation and homelessness, until we put a real dent in any of the factors leading to and creating the conditions in order to allow these situations, these sufferings, these struggles to continue, unless we put an end to them, the Palestinians will not be the last to suffer like they are suffering today. We know that genocide is not uncommon. In fact, genocide is one of the most common practices when it comes to colonialism, because in many cases, the colonized subjects, as they were called, oppressed people suffering under European colonization, often outnumbered by very many the colonizers coming to enslave them. And so what is it that helped the Europeans so much in actually accomplishing any of their goals? Different methods of genocide. So don't let anyone fool you. Do not let anyone lie to you and pretend that what is happening in Palestine is, first of all, most certainly, it is most certainly, without any question, a genocide. And anyone who would disagree, anyone who would argue that, is not worth the time of day. But along with that, if people cannot agree, cannot understand, cannot see that this is not some action that Israel or Netanyahu or his administration have just taken up and chosen to do on their own accord. This is a tool of capitalism. This is a war on the workers, on the unemployed, on the oppressed, on the homeless. This is an attempt to throw back, to throw on the chains that people throughout the world have fought to release themselves from. This is an attempt by the capitalist ruling class to try to claw and crawl and steal and take and do whatever they can do to get back the levels of profit, the levels of control, the levels of power that they once had. And even this is not enough, because as we know, capitalism is a system which requires continued expansion. So the power and control over, say, the land, the territory, the resources, the militaries and the nations, government, states, media sources, militia groups, banks, you know, the whole nine, that the imperialist nations, you know, led primarily by the United States, have had in the last 20, 30 years, even this is no longer enough. It's no longer enough. They're coming up against fuel shortages. They're coming up against ever-increasing levels of price gouging. Again, they're coming up against ever-increasing levels of poverty and inequality and disease and illiteracy and child mortality. All of these statistics show we are on the way towards change. If it is not for the Palestinian people, what they have done in their Al-Aqsa flood operation, and for 105 years resisting European and Zionist occupation, who could imagine where the Arab peoples, where West Asia and Asia generally would be? Do not let the Palestinian people fight alone. Do not let the Palestinian people die alone. Do not let this cause fizzle out. Do not let the energy die. And do not let yourself or anyone forget what the Palestinians have done for humanity. We have said this time and time again on the show, but we cannot say it loud or clear enough. The liberation struggle, the freedom for Palestine, is a step towards the freedom of all humanity. The struggle for the liberation of Palestine is the struggle for the liberation of all humanity. Palestine is on the front lines, and they are not alone. But in many cases, the oppressed, the formerly colonized, the revolutionaries are left to fight by themselves, left to struggle on an international level and a local level by themselves. We know what we must do, and if we don't, we must find out. Organize yourselves, my friends. Educate yourselves. Do whatever you can. If you can engage, if you can find a way to struggle, you must do so. We must do so. And we must do so at a level that matches the stakes at hand. We have had many wonderful actions, many incredible demonstrations of people calling on this government demand a ceasefire. What we must say for all who are listening is clear. What we must say for all who are listening must be clear. The United States has no interests that supersede its interests in continuing Israeli occupation and control of what they call the Middle East through its different satellites in the region. And the level of pressure that has been mounted is not enough to flood the gates. Until the imperialists are challenged, until they feel threatened, until they feel they can no longer hold power, they have no reason to stop doing anything. This is what has made them billionaires. This is what has made them the most powerful military, the most powerful political entity, the most powerful occupation force humankind has ever seen. It is this process, oppression, occupation, exploitation, that has led them to be in the position that they are in. But my friends, remember, with increased levels of oppression come increased levels of resistance. This does not happen overnight, however. Let us double, triple, and quadruple our resolve. Let us not forget the political prisoners and prisoners in general in the dungeons and concentration camps and prisoner of war camps in Palestine, but also the prisoner of war camps, the concentration camps on Turtle Island, and the political prisoners and the prisoners here. Let us not forget also the most vulnerable groups within our community, the children, the disabled, the elderly. We must remember that this struggle is for more than just force or might. This is a struggle to build a brand new society, one that has not been seen before. To learn lessons from other new societies that had not been seen before. If it was possible then, if it was possible there, it's possible here. And if you feel it failed there, or you feel that there's nothing that can be done, please kindly either change your opinion and your consciousness, or please kindly step out of the way. We have no time for detractors. We have no time for bad actors. We have no time for laziness. We have no time for ignorance. Study, educate, prepare, exercise, train, repeat. Organize. Talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers. start an organization, have a political prisoner writing day, do a mural to honor the prisoners and revolutionary heroes that have passed on or who are still with us on this earth today. Write some poems, post some, you know, posters up and down your downtown area in your city and try to talk to people. Go table at an event or host an educational. But whatever you're doing, whatever you do, do not stop at just one event or one day or one thing. Do not stop at the first interaction. Deepen your relationships. Deepen your struggle. And remember, it is through the changed behaviors, attitudes, and patterns of the millions of people, not through some ideas, ideology, or information and control from on high. It is people's habits and behaviors that make the world the way it is today. So let us change those, starting with ourselves, and then bring that to other people. Long live the Palestinian people. Long live the Palestinian people's struggle. Long live the 107 dead journalists murdered, assassinated by the settler colonial nation known as Israel. The occupation force isn't real. Is Rahel. There's so many good names. Y'all see them slip up and use Israel at the ICJ? That was pretty funny. Remember that the Palestinian people are making a sacrifice that can't go forgotten and cannot go ignored. We cannot allow this many people to die, this many people to take up arms, this many people to suffer and struggle for nothing. This has to be the end. This has to be it. So let's help make it so. All power to the people.